Well, this is it, folks. Today is the big day. It's Election Day, Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me today. And I've got great news for you. I've got great news. And I think in order to understand it, I've got to explain also that today is the day of my 100th sermon, spiritual sermon. I was called upon to record and publish 100 sermons in 100 days. And initially, I thought that it was going to be all about foods in the Bible, foods and nutrition. And of course, that's only where it started. And where it ends is found in today's sermon, which is included here at the end of this broadcast. And where it ends is so profound and so freeing. I think you will really want to hear today's sermon because of what it entails. But let me reveal a bit of what the sermon says in terms of the politics of this election day and the part that sets you free in all of this, which is very powerful, is that who wins or loses this election does not determine the rest of your life, does not determine whether you succeed in your mission in this life, in this simulation, as I call it. Who wins or loses in this election? Yeah, it may matter in terms of domestic politics and geopolitics and economics and, you know, the so-called freedoms of this particular group of people, including you and I living in this time, in this place. But to transcend this election, which is what I hope I'm helping people do in these sermons, to transcend the election is to realize that this election is only about choosing who is in charge of a giant destructive demon known as the federal government. It is a machine of destruction, a machine of torture, a machine of criminality and war, of pestilence, of engineered famine. It is a machine of incredible destruction across our world and across the epochs of time. This federal government, it is its own beast. And I think it's part of the beast system that is mentioned in the Bible. And all an election does is it decides who sits at one particular chair in this beast system, even though that chair, the Oval Office, let's say, is absolutely consumed by the minions that run the beast system. And no matter who is elected, this beast system still feeds upon human freedom. It feeds by confiscating the productivity of your labor through money printing and taxation. It is a weaponized system of hyper-regulatory selective punishment in order to silence good people, to punish good people, to destroy small businesses. This is a beast system run by minions who use taxpayer money to engineer biological weapons that are designed to achieve human depopulation. SARS-CoV-2, gain-of-function research, came out of the United States, the DOD. To begin with, by the way. And then it was sent over to the Wuhan lab in China for additional gain-of-function fine-tuning. But the weapon against humankind was built in the United States as part of this beast system of destruction and weaponization. Oh, and by the way, Lyme's disease was also built. It's another bioweapon that was built by the same beast system. And there are many, many other bioweapons, including agricultural weapons, that have been built by the system. There are economic weapons, sanctions, for example, and manipulation of gold and silver markets, weapons of disinformation and lies, where the federal government, of course, funded overseas NGOs in order to launder censorship into big tech. In fact, my lawsuit, or my company's lawsuit against big tech, speaks to all of these issues in great detail. So the election, I mean, I could go on, many other examples of this. Remember, this is a government that sends a group of armed thugs to break into your door and kidnap and execute your pet squirrel. Okay? Peanut the squirrel is no longer with us because our government has so much time and money and vindictiveness against the people that they can sit around and make target lists of whose homes to invade and which pets to execute. And that's exactly what they do. So that is a system that is far too powerful, has too much money, too much time on its hands, has resources that it should not have, and is not driven by anything resembling morality or ethics or even the rule of law. This is the beast system that we, the American people, are voting for who can sit and in one chair at the head of this beast system, or actually not even the head of the whole system, but just as the head of one branch, the executive branch of this system, but yet having no control over the legislative branch or the judicial branch, and certainly having no control over the deep state, which is the built-in bureaucracy, the bureaucratic momentum, the lifers who are the people that process the paperwork and expand their rules, you know, in the ATF and the FDA and the EPA and the CDC, and they make their own laws because they are their own fiefdoms. They are smaller beasts, or they are the horns on the beast. This system cannot be touched by the president of the United States. So don't suffer under the illusion that by changing who sits in the Oval Office, that you are going to conquer this beast system. I mean, I've posted some fantasy posts on X, of course, probably you have as well. Fantasy posts were like, defund everything, you know, or Trump talking about, well, we're going to end federal taxes, income taxes on tips for service industry workers. And I would reply and say, end all taxation. Why do we even have federal income tax? It's a complete scam to begin with. They just print whatever money they need. They can create money digitally. They don't need to tax us. They don't need to take money from us to fund their government operations, because obviously federal spending has nothing to do with revenues. Nothing to do with revenues, and they don't need revenues from us. Taxation is a punishment. But as I would say on Twitter or X, I would say, Trump, just end all taxation. I mean, federal income taxes on individuals is what I'm saying. End it all. And actually, that idea is catching on more and more. And apparently, Ron Paul is going to be advising now in the Trump administration if Trump is elected. So it's going to be not just RFK Jr., but also Ron Paul and Elon Musk. And of course, Ron Paul makes it so much better, because if Ron Paul, if he were honest about what he knows and what he believes, and he is a very honest man. What I'm saying is, if he were to just speak bluntly, okay, Ron Paul may be the most honest congressman ever in the history of Congress, okay, but if he were to just say what he knows and what he believes, if he were asked by Trump, hey, former Congressman Paul, what should we do about the Federal Reserve? Ron Paul would say, end it. End it. Shut it down. Return the money to the people. Why should you have an instrument of debt that's called a dollar, that is printed in unlimited quantities by a non-government entity called the Federal Reserve, which is a globalist banking cartel run by a den of thieves? End it. End the whole thing. And if Trump were to say, okay, Mr. Paul, or former Congressman Paul, what should we do about these federal agencies? You know, we have the FDA, the EPA, the DHS, we've got the FBI, we've got, you know, what the USDA, all the stuff. What should we do about all these agencies? Ron Paul would say, end them. Are they mentioned in the Constitution? No, they're not constitutional. End them. I mean, yes, they were created by Congress at some point, but that was a very limited creation, very limited role. And then those agencies just ran with it and started creating all their own laws and said, we don't need Congress. We don't need elections. You know, they answer to no one but themselves. That's the bureaucracy. That's the deep state. Ron Paul would say, end it all. And I would say end it all. And probably Elon Musk, if he were also honest, he would say end it all. Right now, he's saying we can cut $2 trillion out of the, I think, roughly $6 trillion federal budget, annual budget. He thinks we can cut $2 trillion. Well, guess what? There's a much better idea, and that's to cut all of it, to cut every dollar out of the federal budget. And this doesn't require you and I to do anything. And this isn't even something that we can vote for. And it's also something that is inescapable, something that is going to happen. And you know what that is? And it's got nothing to do with this election today. It is the collapse of the dollar currency. And that is an event that is coming. The dollar is going to collapse. Washington, D.C. is going to be effectively decentralized by the collapse of the dollar. The U.S. empire will cease to exist, and it will default on all of its debts and obligations, including its pensions and treasuries and all the entitlements, Social Security, you know, you name it, right? It's going to default on everything. That day is coming. Now, I heard Martin Armstrong talk about, oh, there might be some ideas of how we can actually turn the debt into like coupons and things like this. He's talking about, you know, financial instruments, holdings. Like there might be a way to soften the crash landing. And Martin Armstrong is very well informed about a number of topics. And so, of course, he knows more about this than do I. So it's worth listening to Armstrong. And maybe he's got a way to stop this. But will they give Martin Armstrong the power to do that? No, not a chance. Not a chance. Will Donald Trump call up Martin Armstrong and say, hey, Martin, we'd really love you to help us solve this problem of seemingly unlimited debt and government spending, and we can't even reel it in because Congress has already approved all this spending, and we have all these obligations. You know, the discretionary portion of government spending is very tiny. Even if you stopped all discretionary spending, that wouldn't balance the federal budget because it's already out of control and it's programmatically out of control. It cannot be reeled in without some kind of radical default. But Martin Armstrong, if he were just speaking bluntly, he would say, I don't want to put words in his mouth. He's of course capable of speaking for himself. But I think he would say, you know, look, the only way to save the system is you have to bring the currency back to gold. Because, you know, in 1971, you took the currency off the gold standard, and that was the beginning of the end of the empire. And now you're going to have to unwind that, which is, what, like over five decades of just out-of-control, unlimited money printing. And if you unwind that, it will collapse the entire system because the system runs on debt. The system is a Ponzi scheme. G. Edward Griffin knows this. Jim Rickards knows this. Martin Armstrong knows this. You know, all the financial people that I've interviewed, Andy Schechtman, for example, they all know this and they talk about this. Peter Schiff knows this. He knows that gold is where the assets are going to end up one way or another, right? So this election is not, it's not going to put somebody into power, even if Trump wins. It's not going to put Trump in a place where he can solve the beast problems. And people who think that are living in kind of a cartoon world, like a comic book version of reality. And I know some people think Trump is their savior and Trump is an angel protected by God and everything. I mean, maybe he was protected by God in the assassination, but he's not an angel. He's a man. And he's a man who cannot save this empire. RFK Jr., even if he is well-meaning, and even if he does a lot of good in his influence with, you know, FDA and CDC and whatever, if he doesn't end the FDA, he's not solving the problem. And I'm not casting blame on him. Nobody can enter the system and end it from within. The system does not allow itself to be dismantled from within. It just legislatively, this system is obligated to keep itself growing with more and more debt, more and more spending, more and more obligations that are unfunded. That's why they're called unfunded liabilities. And if you go to the U.S. debt clock, you'll see that that's like, what, $230 trillion at this point, something close to that. The numbers just keep ticking up. But you can't fix the system from within the system. Nobody can. So when you're electing, and I think Trump will be the victor of this. So you're electing Trump into the system. But if you think Trump can save the system or can stop the government from being evil or can stop it from being weaponized against the people, if you believe these things, you're kidding yourself. Trump cannot stop the system. All he can do is tweak the edges of it a little bit. Although I vastly prefer him to be in the Oval Office versus Kamala. But he can't stop this system. And the system has become so unbelievably evil, demonic, rooted in human suffering and conquering and war and the raping and pillaging of resources and nations around the world and the weaponization of the dollar and the weaponization of information. The government funds and runs psychological operations against the people. It manipulates and controls big tech platforms, and it controls the media to a large extent as well. And the deep state intelligence communities inside this beast system, they are utterly lawless, completely out of control. They operate with no ethics, no morality, and no rule of law whatsoever. So no one can enter this system and save it. The only way the system gets resolved is when it implodes. And that day is coming. We don't know exactly when or how, but I'll throw something out here. If Trump is elected, I believe that there are forces within the system, part of the beast system, that would carry out really a Samson option of their own. And I don't mean nuclear weapons. What I mean is pulling down the whole system upon themselves in order to destroy Trump. They would rather everybody dies, you know, as Samson did, like crushing the support pillars and bringing down the roof and killing everybody. They would rather kill everybody and destroy America than to have someone that they don't control run the executive branch. Those elements exist right now inside the beast system of the U.S. empire. And if Trump is sworn into office, I mean, first of all, if he's elected, they'll do everything possible to prevent him from taking office, obviously. And Congressman Raskin has already promised horrific things. In fact, I think there's a new quote from him. At least I saw this on X. Reportedly, Jamie Raskin, he's a congressman, said, quote, "Let folks cast their votes for Trump if that's their choice. But mark my words, we won't be certifying the election. He might win, but we'll ensure he doesn't step foot in the Oval Office." All right, so that's what Raskin is promising. And I've seen videos of him talking about invoking the 14th Amendment and so on to stop Trump from gaining office. But if that effort is halted, and if Trump, well, if the electoral votes are accepted on January 6th, and that's a big question, by the way, and then if Trump is sworn in January 20th, and that's also a big question, then at that moment, the entire system, the entire bureaucracy, the beast, goes to war against Trump and against the American people. You realize that at that moment, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, you know, the EPA, the FDA, the DEA, the ATF, every agency for a while will be just running on its own as a rogue terrorist organization fighting against Trump as president. That's what many agencies did during Trump's entire first term. And you realize that the deep state will compromise anybody that Trump puts, or they will try to compromise, people that Trump put into positions of power, such as the new AG of the DOJ, or maybe a new head of the FBI. And what Trump should do, if he were really wanting to solve this problem, is he should come in on day one. And as the head of the executive branch of government, he has the authority to literally fire every person who is a member of the executive branch, which includes every FBI agent. It includes every worker at the FDA, everybody at the EPA, the USDA, etc. What Trump should do is simply issue a decree on day one saying, I'm firing all of you. Goodbye. You're all done. Go home. We're shutting down all these agencies because they don't work. And then he can turn to Congress and say, okay, Congress, now you need to pass a law that deals with this. And yeah, you can create any agency you want, Congress, but I'll fire everybody who works there if it's not an agency that actually serves the American people. So that's one thing Trump can do. Will he do it? No, not a chance. He won't do it. He will just rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic because there's so much inherent resistance against doing the things that need to be done because the beast system wants to keep itself alive. You know, because there's so much money. I mean, think about it. Even Elon Musk's companies, how many billions of dollars do they get from the military on secret contracts to launch spy satellites into space, huh? Or to launch payloads to Mars coming up, or to launch weapon payloads to sit on the dark side of the moon. The moon is an ideal high ground for a weapons base to launch weapons against targets on Earth, by the way. So Elon Musk needs the system to continue to exist. That's the source of all of his wealth, by the way, is the federal government. Peter Thiel needs the system to exist. J.D. Vance needs the system to exist. Look at his investments and his involvement in the past in biotech companies and medical space technology companies and so on. And the examples go on and on. These people need this system to exist. They're not going to tear it down. They're going to tweak the edges of it to try to stay popular and keep enough people happy to keep them in office. But they're not going to cut the head off the beast, which is the only way that ultimately this whole thing gets solved, is for the collapse of the empire. And then out of the ashes of the empire, which will collapse itself, by the way, for fiscal reasons, out of the ashes of the empire, then we have an opportunity to build a new nation and a new future with new principles. And that may be coming soon. So understand what I'm saying is, when Trump is sworn in, the beast system itself may try to collapse the government and accelerate that collapse in order to make sure Trump can't run it. But if they fail at collapsing it, they will oppose Trump in every way possible, and they will work from the inside to weaponize the system like they did in Trump's first administration, to weaponize it against Trump and against the American people. In other words, Trump is not going to be able to, quote, make America great again. That's not going to happen. I still prefer Trump in power versus Kamala, and there are some very important things that Trump may be able to accomplish, such as allowing local law enforcement to round up and deport illegal aliens. Trump may be able to prosecute the treasonous traitors who rigged the 2020 election, or even those involved in the attempted rigging of the 2024 election here. Trump may be able to get a wall built, finally. And he says he's going to sign an executive order to recommend the halting of fluoridation of water supplies all across the country. But that's not legally binding, by the way. It's just a recommendation from the White House. So yeah, Trump can sign recommendation letters all day long. But the beast system, which is also highly distributed to the states, you know, because of, 10th Amendment and separation of federal and state power, etc. Many states are going to continue to run rigged elections. The blue states will. And there's not that much that the federal government can do to stop that, by the way. So they're going to run rigged elections in every way they can. And they're going to oppose the Trump administration. They're going to oppose America. They're going to unleash chaos and lawlessness across this nation in every way they can. This does not get us to where you and I want to be, which is a nation rooted in reason and liberty and a working, fair judicial system, for example. The only way we get to a nation rooted in liberty and freedom and truth and real justice, and we actually get a system that protects our culture, protects our borders, protects our rule of law, and has honest money, that whole dream world I just described there, that cannot exist as the United States of America. It cannot and it will not. And if you are honest with yourself about wanting those things that I just mentioned, you know, honest money, rule of law, a nation rooted in reason, and, you know, freedom of speech, for example, which we're supposed to be guaranteed by the First Amendment and so on, freedom of religious expression, you know, ending the weaponization of the government against the people. If you want to live in a nation like that, that nation is not the United States of America. And Trump will never be the president of the nation that you want to live in. Because even if Trump is elected as president of this nation would have to collapse and be reformed into a new nation before it could achieve the goals I just mentioned. And Trump would not be the president of that new nation. It would be someone different, which is fine. It won't be Ron Paul either, you know? It might be other people that we currently know. It might be someone whose name is currently circulating, but it won't be Trump. Trump may go down in history. He may make history as the president that helped soften the total collapse of the U.S. empire. And he may give America a fighting chance as it collapses and is ultimately reformed or rebuilt as a new nation, because we do have to get rid of the illegals. Otherwise, our nation is conquered. So Trump might be the president, the last president of the U.S., but the president that gives the next nation a fighting chance. So I'm not saying that Trump can't do any good. He can, but Trump can't solve the core problems that will ultimately bring this nation to its knees. And in some cases, like money printing or debt spending, I don't even think Trump is interested in solving that problem. I don't think Trump is a fiscal discipline guy. He's not going to say, oh, America needs to pay its bills and we need to stop spending and we need to balance our budget. No. Trump is a debt guy. He's going to say we should go into more debt. We should spend more money. He's going to crank up the printing presses even more. And if you suggest something like, oh, we should go back to a gold standard, Trump's not going to be in favor of that, because you can't print gold. You know, if you have a gold standard on your currency, those are handcuffs on government spending, which is one of the good things about a gold standard. Trump will never agree to that. Not a chance. All right, so I'm only asking that we be realistic about what's coming. And I think Trump is going to win this election. I'm not 100% sure. But in the fork, in the possible futures that I'm choosing, or at least attempting to choose, that I'm praying for, and all my intention is focused on creating a future where Trump does win this election, but that's only an interim step, and the far more important future is a future of decentralization of power, where the very concept of a federal government is obsolete. The very concept of fiat currency is obsolete. It's done. Where the power of real money is back in the hands of the people. The power of information and knowledge is decentralized and in the hands of the people. Medicine is in the hands of the people, not centralized government authorities who tell you that, oh, you can't say that because it's unscientific. What did you say? You said vaccines might be harmful. So now we're going to yank your license. What license? Oh, your medical license, because the state determines what you're allowed to say because you're licensed by the state to practice medicine. That's got to end. COVID proved that that doesn't work. We need to end the state. That's the ultimate solution here. The ending of the state and decentralization of power back into the hands of the people. And the beautiful thing about what's happening right now is that humanity is on this path of learning this. Learning that the state is obsolete. the state lies to you. The state is a weapon against you. You know, millions of people have learned this since COVID. They've learned that the state is not your friend. The state doesn't grant you your rights. The state is actually interfering with your expression of your rights. And the state hates you. In fact, as we found out with COVID vaccines, the state wants to murder you. Or they want to break into your apartment and murder your squirrel. The state is not the answer. So choosing which person runs the state is also not the answer. Yeah, it's an interim part of it. But when I see people so obsessed over this idea, like, we're going to win, we're going to win. You're not winning. You're not winning just because Trump is running the beast system that is a weapon against you. You're not winning. It would be like if you went to an NFL game and there were two teams on the field, but instead of the two teams playing ball with each other, if those two teams all had, you know, M4 rifles and they were firing into the crowd, and if a team earned 1 point for every member of the audience or the crowd that they killed, and so the two teams on the field were just competing to see how many human beings they could kill, and the points were racking up. And then one group of people, seeing that their team is winning, and they're shouting, we're winning, we're winning. That's what it's like to think that you're winning in this election. The beast system is murdering you. You're not winning just because a different person runs that system, and hardly runs it, I should say, you know, directs one tiny portion of that system. You're not winning. You're losing. The system is anti-human. The system has no morals, no rule of law. They have actual immunity from law. They don't answer to the people. They don't answer to God. They don't answer to the International Court of Justice at all, or the International Criminal Court at all. They answer to no one. It is a system of intense evil, a system that is ultimately demonic. And as I've been teaching in my sermons, it is a system that God himself destroys. And when he destroys America, the angels rejoice in heaven. That's actually the way this ends, at least according to the book of Revelation. This does not end with, you know, utopian sidewalks paved with gold and all your rights are restored and all elections become honest, and we go back to paper ballots and nationwide voter ID. No, the blue states are never going to do that. And the federal government can't compel them to do that. They're always going to cheat. They may even cheat their way through this election and put Kamala in power, which ultimately doesn't hardly make any difference either, because it's still a satanic beast system that is set there to destroy and cause human suffering and mass extermination and depopulation. They put poisons in the food. They approve the poisons. The USDA, the EPA, they approve pesticides in the food. The FDA approves the depopulation jabs that go into your skin and into your muscle tissue. The government agencies approve the means of extermination of the American people. Think about it. That's what the government exists to do right now. That is the priority of the federal government, is your death. And taxation is just to keep you down and keep you suppressed while they achieve your death. You know, propaganda money is just to keep you confused while they achieve your death. You know, chemtrails, weather control systems, geoengineering, it's all real. And it's all designed to cause famine, to cause your death. They are trying to slaughter you. So I'm not going to cheer anybody suddenly sitting in a certain seat in that system. It's like, oh, great, our guy is now at the seat of the system that has murdered a million of our people already. Yay, we're winning. No, you're not. You're losing. Humanity's losing. America has lost its soul, lost its culture, lost its education system, lost its work ethic, lost its mind. America has lost its industrial output capabilities, lost its military advantage, lost its reputation on the global stage. Nobody wants to use dollars anymore. Nobody trusts America. There's not one country in the world that trusts America, not even America's allies, especially not Germany now, because they realize that America blew up the Nord Stream pipelines. Nobody trusts America. The days of the U.S. empire dominating the world are coming to an end. Rapidly. And whether Trump is in the White House or not won't change the fact that this empire has already seen its best days. And it's going to be over for America. And I would add that given how much suffering and death and corruption and fraud the dollar is involved with, that the sooner the dollar collapses, the more merciful it would be for humanity. I've said that on the day the dollar collapses, it should be called World Freedom Day, because that's how evil the dollar is. That's how much destruction it has caused all over the world. When the dollar collapses, the world will rejoice. And most of us will too if we have gold and silver and you don't have all your assets sitting in dollars, because that would be a huge mistake. So keep this in mind as we watch what unfolds. Now, of course, I'll be covering the highlights of this election. And by the way, I'm not running an interview today because everybody's totally focused on the election. I will cover the highlights and some analysis of where I think this is going. But I wanted to set the tone here today with the larger context of this, which is that the outcome of this election matters a lot less than you think. And what you really want in a government, I'm guessing, if you're listening to this podcast, what you really want can't be delivered by Trump, and it can't be delivered by the United States of America, the current federal system. It cannot be delivered by that. It is impossible. What you want requires a different nation to rise out of the ashes of the collapse of this nation. And you don't have to do anything to, accelerate that. You don't have to do anything. Because, the laws of economics and debt, and compounding interest and cause and effect, those laws are already well in play. This nation has already set itself on fire. It will destroy itself. All you have to do is survive the self-immolation of this empire and then be ready to participate in whatever comes next. Maybe secession, maybe new regional nation states. Maybe we get invaded by China working with the narcos. Maybe we get hit by an EMP weapon from North Korea. Maybe we get cyber attacked by our own deep state to shut everything down before January 6th. Who knows? Our job is to be ready to handle anything that's thrown our way. But at the same time, not to have unreasonable expectations that this is going to be some new golden age, that Trump is Christ on a white horse flying out of the clouds of heaven. The sky opened up and Christ emerged and his name was Trump. And he saved us all and he's our savior. Right? That's the children's comic book version. And Thor can fly with his hammer. How does he fly with his hammer? He swings it around really fast, and then when he throws it in the air, he just holds on, and then he flies. Yeah, okay, great. And Trump's going to save America. Yeah, if you believe in the Avengers, the Avengers hate Trump. Come to think that all the actors that play the Avengers, they all hate Trump, of course. They're all Hollywood sellouts. But if you believe in the original Marvel comic book Avengers, if you think that all that's real, then you might believe that, Trump can save America. But the rest of us, who operate in reality, we know that's not the case. I strongly prefer Trump over Kamala for lots of reasons, but I could not vote for Trump. I did not vote for Trump. I wrote in Dr. Shiva when I voted. I already voted. And I did not vote for Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. You know why? Because they both support evil in the form of Zionism, which is a satanic death cult that's currently murdering women and children in the Middle East. And that's entirely consistent with what the U.S. empire does and has done around the world. The empire is a murderous regime of coercion and violence. And I've decided I can't support it. I've just come to that realization that on my soul, I can't have this mark where I voted for someone to run this system that continues, you know, to bomb women and children to death and continues to expand murder of innocent people around the world. And Trump will continue that, by the way. He will support Israel no matter what. No matter what genocide they commit, no matter what crimes against humanity they commit, Trump will support them. J.D. Vance will support them. RFK Jr. will support them. So to me, that's disqualifying. And by the way, when the United States empire collapses, Israel's done. Israel's done because Israel would be finished in a month if it wasn't for this constant air train of weapons and fuel and military equipment and ammunition and money coming from the United States. Israel would be done. And that day is coming also. And no, God's not going to save Israel. God's not going to save America. As I've covered in my sermons, God destroys both nations. I've covered it in great detail. God does not save wicked, demonic nations rooted in transgenderism and mass abortion, deception, and murder and slaughter of innocent people. God does not save those nations. And anybody who says that God's going to save Israel is actually a Satanist. They don't understand God at all. They don't worship God, obviously. They worship death. They worship destruction. That's a Satanist. Because that's what Israel has become. And that's what the U.S. empire has become. And that's why the U.S. empire and Israel don't have long left to survive. So hunker down for whatever's coming. Understand that most of what you're watching in the media is theater for your mind. Understand that even if Trump gets in the White House, it's not the government that you want. And ultimately, you shouldn't want any government to rule over you at all. If you really believe in human freedom, you should believe in the decentralization of power away from centralized control, away from money printing systems. There shouldn't be any Treasury or Federal Reserve. We don't need those concepts in the modern world. There shouldn't be secret government spending programs. There shouldn't even be a federal government at all. We should interact with each other on a volunteer basis, not through coercion and threats. Or confiscation and theft of our earnings, which is taxation and property taxes. So it's going to be an interesting time. Get ready. And then also enjoy today's sermon, which is the 100th sermon. There's a lot to cover. Enjoy. And we'll see what happens. Follow me, by the way. I will be tweeting out on X. My username there is Health Ranger. I'm also on Brightown.io, Health Ranger. And I'm on Telegram at Real Health Ranger. I'm also on Brightown.social, Health Ranger. I'm going to be simultaneously tweeting out updates throughout the day and the evening, etc., about this election. You know, I'm not going to be just saturated with it, but just the highlights, the important parts. So follow me on any of those platforms or channels, and I'll do my best to give you my analysis of what it all means. I think that we'll see Trump have a massive victory today and tonight, you know, early into the morning hours of Wednesday. And then the Democrat cheating machine is going to print ballots for 2 or 3 days until they steal and rig the election. And then they're going to announce their victory maybe Friday. And then there's going to be a lot of legal action, and all kinds of video and cyber evidence is going to come out that catches these cheaters red-handed. Red-handed. And some of this is going to be video evidence from James O'Keefe's group. Some of it's going to be video evidence, probably from James O'Keefe's group, OMG. And some of it will be cyber evidence gathered by people working for, you know, Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, and even Mossad. Israel wants Trump to win. So Mossad is going to be active in this election to try to block the rigging by the Democrats. So there's a cyber war element that's going on right there. And in this case, Mossad is on the side of Trump. It's I'm telling you, there are a lot of factions here. But what you're about to witness is the furthest thing from an honest election. You're going to be witnessing massive theater, psychological operations, and a lot of cyber operations as well. So stay tuned. It's going to get interesting. All right. If you want to support us, by the way, shop at healthrangerstore.com. And if you want to get yourself storable food that's certified organic, laboratory tested, I'm going to run a quick segment here from our store to show you some of our latest products and specials. Also want to mention rangerdeals.com is the website where we list third-party providers that have things like goldbacks or prepper bars made out of silver. It's breakaway silver. You can break off very precise pieces of silver for barter and trade and payment. Or you can just get the typical gold and silver coins from the Treasure Island Company at metalswithmike.com. But all the links there to the different providers of gold and silver, those are found at rangerdeals.com. And if you don't know what to get, just go with classic gold and silver coins that are from known mints. You know, a 1 ounce coin, 1 ounce silver coin is, what is it now? I mean, spot price of silver is, I think, $34 and something. And then there's a premium on top of that for the coin format. But right now the premiums are quite low compared to probably where they're going. So this is a really good time, I think, to buy gold and silver or to trade fiat dollars for gold and silver. So just check out metalswithmike.com, which is our sponsor in that space. They'll get you squared away and you can lock in prices, you know, today before things go haywire later on in the week. Yeah, gold and silver are going to move dramatically, I'm guessing, because of the shenanigans happening with this election. And also Iran says it may attack Israel coming up, or Israel says it reserves the right to hit Iran again. You know, tensions in the Middle East continue to get worse. That whole situation is nowhere near resolved. So energy prices could be impacted, energy supply. Gold and silver will see some action. I have no doubt about it. All right. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the sermon. Available now for the first time at healthrangerstore.com, we have Crunchy Munchies. These are really amazingly delicious organic fruit purees. We have a banana strawberry that's available now. You see it on the left side there. And then we have an apple cinnamon banana Crunchy Munchie that's over here. These are really incredible, great snacks for adults and for kids as well. Certified organic, laboratory tested, and freeze-dried. So long-term storage is just built into the product because of its freeze-dried nature. We also have now a new batch back in stock of the banana, peanut butter, and chocolate smoothie mix, which has incredibly simple, clean ingredients. And we have our turmeric tincture back in stock, a brand new batch of our turmeric as well, which is, of course, laboratory tested. And understand that a lot of the turmeric in the marketplace contains high levels of lead. So heavy metals testing is really critical to get clean turmeric. So if you're using any kind of a turmeric supplement, make sure that it is tested. But if you go to our website, healthrangerstore.com, you'll see here our freeze-dried Crunchy Munchies are featured right here. And we've also got the, an auto vitamin E, tocotrienols, soft gels, that's in stock. But right here, you can see our organic banana, peanut butter, and chocolate instant superfood shake. People love this because it just tastes great and it's just all natural ingredients, certified organic. We've got organic whey protein back in stock, and as well as our fair trade freeze-dried organic instant coffee that is a favorite, also laboratory tested. And when it comes to coffee, you have to watch out for high cadmium content in a lot of coffee. So, you know, the laboratory testing is really critical in all of this. And we do more testing than anybody else that I know of in the world in terms of having our own laboratory, ISO accredited, certified organic laboratory is inspected and tested and audited every year for the certification. And then on top of that, our food manufacturing facility is audited and inspected as well. And when it comes to organic instant coffee, you got to watch out for cadmium content. So we test for cadmium as well. It's one of the heavy metals that we routinely test for. But if you go to our website, you can see what we have on sale here, lots of different items. We've got featured categories, personal care, preparedness, supplements, food and beverage, and home. And understand that my philosophy is that we don't use synthetic substances, artificial fragrance chemicals. We don't use fillers. We don't use artificial colors or dyes or any kind of nonsense garbage like that. Instead, we focus on certified organic, clean, pure, natural, laboratory-tested ingredients for your body, for your meals, for your home, for your supplements, for preparedness, and much more. Support us at healthrangerstore.com. And also check out our new line of Escape Zone bags, which you can find at healthrangerstore.com/escape. And this brings you the EMF protected and ballistic, bulletproof protected backpacks, as well as a laptop case, although the ballistic version is out of stock at the moment. But we've got EMF protection in small backpacks as well. Also laptop bags and sleeves for mobile devices and tablets, mobile phones, satellite phones, and so much more, plus an EMF blanket. All of this is available now, healthrangerstore.com/escape. So get yourself prepared, protect your health, boost up your nutrition, protect yourself from EMFs, and help support our store and our platform. Thank you for shopping with us. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and the founder of healthrangerstore.com. Take care. Welcome to the 100th sermon here at abundance.church. It's the Church of Natural Abundance. I'm Mike Adams, and yes, today is the day that we reach 100 sermons. I was called upon to record and teach 100 sermons in 100 days, obviously a few months ago, and I thought, wow, this seems just unexpected, maybe a little wild. What's going on? And I thought I was going to be teaching about foods and nutrition from the Bible. And I did. I taught a lot of that, and I intend to teach more of that because it's a very rich field of useful information, very practical information. But of course, as we moved through the 100 sermons, I ended up covering, well, the book of Revelation and end times and Matthew chapter 24 and so on. And then we ended up looking at comet impacts and all of the astonishing evidence, I mean, irrefutable evidence, that comet impacts have taken place. They are alluded to in the Bible, and that they will take place as God shows his fury against human civilization. And ultimately, unless we change course, the plan, God's plan for our planet, at least if you believe what the angels told John of Patmos in Revelation, and if you believe what Christ told Matthew in chapter 24, that this ends with a series of comet impacts. This planet ends. But that's actually, it's not the end of your life because, well, you have an immortal soul. And then after all of your physical life ends in this simulation, because this entire cosmos is created by God as a testing ground. It is a simulation, if you will. It's a kind of matrix. The real world is beyond this world, and then you are judged, and if you are judged worthy, then you join God in heaven, which is really, I think heaven is a name for the real world, the transcendent reality from which you originally came. So you're simply going home. You're going back to the real world when you leave this world. This world is a simulation. This world is, you know, a testing ground. This is not the reality. It's far from it. It's just it's a shadow of reality, actually. The real world is what awaits you after this world. So we covered all of that. And then in the last few sermons, we've begun to get into things beyond what the Bible directly teaches, but things which are implied or are realized when you understand Christ and the teachings of the Lord and what the Bible says, you know, beyond the surface notations. And that is that God gave you the gift of life, and that got into a discussion about primary rights and why slavery is wrong, for example, because God gave you the gift of your body, your life, and thus you own the product of your labor. And thus, it's wrong for some man to come along and claim to own your body. That interferes with God's contract with you. God gave you your body, not this other man over here, the slave owner, man. So slavery is wrong. Slavery is an affront to God. But of course, so is taxation, because taxation is confiscating the product of your labor, which is the product of the work of your hands, let's say. And if God gave you the gift of life and God gave you the gift of your body, he gave you the gift of also holding on to the product of your labor. So according to God's teachings, once you really get into it, you begin to realize that the very existence of government is antichrist. The very existence of a system of taxation, property taxes, are antichrist. They're anti-God. Confiscating anything from you like that, or forcing things onto you, such as vaccines. That is an antichrist effort that is pushed by an antichrist government regime. And these are just some examples, but as we've gone through these teachings, we've come to realize more and more the big aha, the big red pill, let's say. And I'll say it as this. It is that what the Bible actually teaches, and what Christ in particular really taught, and what the Lord wants for us, I believe, is to understand that all these messages from the Lord and from Jesus and written in the Bible and so on, you know, despite all the edits and alterations and all the ancient scribes like censoring certain things, don't include that part, you know, don't let them see the Dead Sea Scrolls. That might freak people out. But all the editing and everything that went on, despite all of that, we still get it. We still get it. And what is it? It is that God wants you to be free. And God wants you to be abundant. And this is why my church is named the Church of Natural Abundance. Abundance is built into the fabric of the universe. And there's far more abundance than you might imagine. Because God gave you not only the gift of life and the gift of consciousness, he gave you the gift of creation. And we covered that in yesterday's sermon. He gave you the gift of creation. God gave you a little sliver of his own ability to create. Now, God created the universe, but he also gave you the ability to create a multiverse. In other words, to spawn off a variation of the cosmos within the framework of what God created. In other words, you can create variations. He gave you that power. And you create those variations by choice, by consciousness, the application of free will, and making decisions and taking action. And hence, the laws of cause and effect are important in this realm. But he gave you that capability. Thus, the greatest gift that God gave you is not simply, here's an instruction book of how to be a moral person. You know, don't do these evil, wicked things, but you should do these other things. You know, help the widows of the church, you know, be good to other people, etc. Yes, all that's important, but that's not what God was trying to teach us in the Bible, I believe. The bigger lesson is that you co-create with God the reality in which you want to live. You have the power of God working through you. And I'm not saying that you are God, obviously. I'm not saying you have the same power. It's not even close. You have a little sliver of power. But you do have the power of co-creation with God. And you can shape your future. You can shape the cosmos around your intention. And yet, most people go through life today having no clue that that's the case. And so the Bible can either enslave you or it can set you free, depending on how much you understand. One of the things I've talked about here is how the Bible or the teachings of a lot of mainstream Christian churches actually limits you. I think mainstream Christianity as it is practiced today is an affront to God. It doesn't teach you the truth, doesn't teach you real freedom. And a lot of these churches barely even teach the Bible. And when they do, they hardly teach the words of Christ, you know? It's like 90% is just what Paul said. It's like, what about Jesus? Or what about the important deeds that Jesus spoke about? You know, when does this church actually do anything to help the poor, to help the hungry, to help the needy? You know, I was going to read, well, I probably will read from James chapter 2. James was the brother of Jesus, by the way, a sibling. A lot of people don't really talk about that. But James spoke about the fact that faith without works is dead, or faith without deeds. You can't just say that you have faith in Jesus and that's enough for salvation, even though that's what's taught to a lot of Christians. And that's what I mean by the Bible can enslave you if you have the wrong understanding of it. And I think, again, a lot of Christian churches do that. And they teach that, oh no, your deeds don't matter. All you have to do is just say you're a sinner and you embrace Christ and you're done. Now you're saved and that's it. And oh, by the way, don't worry about preparing or anything, because they teach a pre-tribulation rapture, like Jesus is going to come and take you out of here before anything bad happens. So basically all you have to do is just give money to the church, you know, sing the hymns and just go along with the church. You don't really have to do anything else. That's the slave system of Christianity. And I wholeheartedly reject that system. I think that Christ and the Lord want you to initiate action. They want you to do things. They want you to create. They want you to use your free will, your ingenuity, creativity, your ideas in order to spawn new universes of new possibilities. And in doing so, they want you to express this power with a sense of compassion and humility, forgiveness, and love for fellow human beings. To me, that's clear. And that's how the Bible can set you free. So the Bible can set you free, if you understand it. The Bible can set you free from the confines of modern Christianity. Isn't that interesting? If you truly understand what the Bible says, it can set you free from Christianity, at least the way Christianity is practiced today, which is, again, I think it's a false shadow of what Christ really taught. I love the words of James here, James chapter 2, verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, quote, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well, he says. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. You know, so he's saying, you need to fulfill the entire spirit of what it means to love your neighbor. He says, if you show partiality, he's saying, don't have discrimination against people. Love people universally, is what he's saying. He goes on, he says, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Right? So if you don't show mercy to other people, you will be judged in a merciless fashion by the Lord. And he continues, mercy triumphs over judgment. See what he's saying? You can make mistakes in judgment. God understands that. But if you are someone who grants mercy to others, well, that carries more weight. That's more currency in the spiritual judgment by the Lord. And then let's talk about faith without works. Verse 14, James continues, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? So this is a really critical question where I think, again, a lot of modern day churches have it completely wrong. And I'm not afraid to say that. If they're wrong, they're wrong. When they say, some of them say this, others do not, but some say that all you have to do is just say you accept Christ and you don't have to carry out any deeds at all. You don't have to earn it other than just saying it. You don't have to really do anything to help anybody. See, I reject that, but so does James. So verse 15, he says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. You know, blessings be upon you. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? James asks. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Well, that's him saying faith without works is dead. It's meaningless to just say, oh, I believe in Christ, I believe in Jesus, but who have you helped this year? Nobody. Well, faith without works is dead. You got to do more than just claim to be a follower of Jesus. You got to do something. And I know most of you listening here, you are doers. You are the kind of people who do something. And I'm sure you've found ways to help people this year. And you will continue to find ways. This seems to be a time where there's no shortage of opportunities to help people. It's like God just handed us all a bunch of low-hanging fruit. Like, you want to prove your spiritual worth? Guess what? Here's a whole field of deeds that you could choose from. You can help these people, those people. Those people are starving. These people just got flooded out with a storm. These people got jabbed over here. You know, these people are getting bombed. Like, who do you want to help? Just take your pick. Help anybody you want. You know, it's almost like it's right in your face. It's like an arcade of deeds that you can choose from here. And yet some people will sit back and say, well, it's not my job. It's not my job. I already said I believe in Jesus, and that's enough. Jesus is going to save us. He's going to take us out of here. Pre-tribulation rapture, I can't wait. Yeah, deceived, right? Deceived. All right, James goes on. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Okay, interesting, very powerful philosophical argument. In other words, some people will say, well, all you're doing is deeds and works, but you don't express enough faith in Jesus. You don't say Jesus's name enough, or you don't read the Bible enough. Instead, you're just running around just helping people all the time, right? So James says that I will show you my faith by my works. The fact that I am performing these deeds, that I am dedicated to this, that this is in my heart to help people. This is an expression of faith. He's almost saying, how dare you demand to see my faith credentials when I show my faith every day through my deeds? And a lot of Christians have a big problem with this. They're like, that's not enough. It's not enough. You have to say the right words. You have to sing the right hymns. You have to do the right holidays. Honestly, I don't think Jesus gives one hoot about whether you recognize the right holidays. He doesn't care at all about that. I don't think he cares really whether you get on your knees at church and say the right things and read the right prayers. What Jesus taught and what the Lord cares about is that you express your faith through your deeds, and that you do so from a place of authentic love for humanity, that it must be authentic, and that when you ask Jesus to forgive your sins, that it comes from a place of authenticity, that you truly are asking to be a changed person. You're not just asking Jesus to wash away your sins, to nullify them so that they're are no consequences, or that you could even go back and repeat them. It's like, you know, dear God, I gambled last weekend and I lost a bunch of money. Please forgive me for my sins so that I can gamble this weekend. You know, that's not what it's about, right? To confess your sins means to ask for repentance as a changed person with authenticity. That is what is required of us. And as a related note in all of this, I think it's very clear the Bible only really requires three things. I mean, the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of the Lord in the pre-Jesus days, it really only requires three things. Over and over again, this is what the Bible says, is number one, repent of your sins. Ask for forgiveness for your sins. Number two, be obedient to God's laws, his requirements, which are basically moral behavior, you know, honesty, these kinds of things. And number three is to operate in service to others, to give to others, right? To help those in need, to find opportunities to do that. These three things: ask for repentance, be obedient to God's teachings and laws, and find ways to serve others, to help those in need. These three things will get you into heaven. And notice that none of these three things require you to say the same verse over and over again that cites the name of Jesus Christ. Saying the word over and over again doesn't get you into heaven. It is those three things that I mentioned that get you into heaven. And I think Jesus would approve of that plan because that's what he taught. That is what he taught. And when you pursue the teachings of Jesus, you are honoring him. You are, in essence, worshiping him because he was the teacher of these things. Your faith can be expressed through your deeds. Now, it's even better to do both, by the way. You know, express your faith through your deeds, but also reaffirm your faith by invoking the name of Jesus, because there is great power in that, as we've talked about in other sermons. There is great power in saying the name Jesus Christ out loud. You know, demonic forces literally hate that name. So there is power in that name. And to call upon Jesus for his protection and to help you, and to call upon the Lord and his protection, to put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6. All of these things, they do count. So vocalizing prayer, you know, I've done a whole sermon on this as well. Vocalizing prayer is an important function, but it's not a requirement to enter heaven. Did you know that? You don't actually have to pray even one time in your life to enter heaven. What you do have to do is perform deeds that are an expression of your faith. See that? And that idea is shocking to a lot of Christians because they think that the prayer is what gets you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, but it isn't. It's the three things I mentioned. It's asking for forgiveness, repenting for your sins. It's being obedient to the teachings of God. And it's living in service to others that is, again, an expression of your faith in the teachings of Jesus. If you do those three things and you never read a Bible verse in your whole life, you still go to heaven. You still go to heaven. And this also answers the question of, well, what about all the people in China 2,000 years ago who never met Christ? What about all the people in Central and South America, the Mesoamericans? What about the Indians in India? What about they didn't have the opportunity to meet Christ? So clearly, God would not say that only the people in the Middle East get to go to heaven, but everybody else goes to hell, even if they're good people. No, that doesn't make any sense at all, does it? The people in ancient China or the people in ancient India, they never even heard of Jesus Christ. Or maybe some in India did, but in Mesoamerica, they did not. They didn't know who Jesus was. So they never uttered the name Jesus. They didn't even have the language to say the name Jesus. Did they all go to hell? No. They earned their way into heaven through the expression of faith through their deeds, by being good people, which sooner or later, people who are good people will repent for their sins. They will be obedient to the teachings of God, which is essentially laying out the rules of being a good person, and they will help others in need. When you fulfill those three things, your ticket to heaven is intact. You've got it. I know Buddhist monks who are amazing people, very holy people, positive people, amazing teachers. They teach these three things that I just mentioned: repentance, obedience, of being a good person, and faith through deeds and helping others. Will those Buddhist monks go to heaven even though they never uttered the name Jesus Christ? And the answer, of course, is yes. they go to heaven too. And when Christians have a problem with that, they're stuck in the slavery of the modern day Christian interpretation of the Bible. For them, the Bible has become a trap, and they can't escape that trap, and they can't think beyond the rituals of it. And I'm sad that that's the case for a great many Christians, because God did not want the Bible to trap you. God wants you to be set free through these principles. And these principles are universal, and they don't apply just to people in the Middle East. They apply to all people everywhere across all time. And as I've said before, they also apply to conscious beings on other planets, because we are not alone in this universe, okay? So if you think about what I've been teaching over these 100 sermons, understandably, a lot of it is rather provocative. I'm trying to help, especially Christians, to smash the prison walls that have surrounded them, because they've been brainwashed by really limited thinking in limited churches, or, you know, Bible schools, Bible study, what have you. And yeah, they can cite chapter and verse, day and night, this and that, and they can argue about which apostle said this to that one, and which one argued about their position in Christ's favor, and so on. But they don't understand the bigger picture of what God was trying to teach us, which is not to be closed-minded, not to be rooted in rituals, but rather to be good people. That it is being a good person through your deeds that earns you the right to go to heaven. And that then beyond that, which is what we've talked about in recent sermons, that you have this power of co-creation. You can choose your future. You are actually the architect of your future. That what Christ showed you, the miracles of Christ, healing the lame, raising the dead, you know, creating matter from or multiplying matter. These miracles, these are just bending the rules of the matrix, and you too could tap into similar elements of that same gift granted to you in part by God. And so what we'll be talking about here, this 100th sermon is not my last sermon, by the way. This is just the first. This is the introduction, okay? This is a 100 sermon introduction. And for me, it's been a journey of exploration and discovery as well. I hope you've enjoyed it if you've heard any of these sermons. But this is just the beginning. I'm not going to do a sermon every day, by the way, from here forward. I'll probably do one a week. And each sermon is going to now push beyond the boundaries of where we've been. We're going to look into the nature of reality, consciousness, co-creation, and all of it in the context of understanding that our Creator wants us to experience and express love. That we are beings of light. We are beings of light that are living in a, you know, an artificial simulation, which consists of the illusion of matter that is nothing but standing waves of light, you could say. It's sort of like frozen light appearing as matter. And we're made of that stuff. We're made of those elements of carbon and, you know, hydrogen and oxygen and so on. And in this, we have barely begun to tap into what we're capable of. Humanity's exploration into the realm of consciousness has been very, very cursory. We've barely scratched the surface of the realizations and knowledge that are possible to encounter. We have much more to learn, much more to learn. And I would even say that for all the history of humanity on our planet, we've been living not just in an artificial cosmos, we've been living in an artificial mental prison inside the artificial cosmos, the simulation. We've been living inside a prison, inside a simulation. And it's time to free ourselves from that prison and start reworking the simulation. We can alter the lines of code that algorithmically express this simulation. Free energy, for example. Mind over matter. Premonition. So-called psychic phenomena, which are supernatural, but also completely natural, because they are consistent with the laws of the universe that God created. Your mind is a broadcast instrument and a receiver of knowledge and information. We've talked about morphic resonance. We've talked about so-called cloud consciousness. You know, we've talked about patterns of nature in other sermons. You are much more than your physical self. You are much more than your brain. Your mind is not your brain, and your mind is not contained in your skull. Your mind or your consciousness, it branches out across the entire cosmos. You are connected to everything in the cosmos. You are, in essence, one with everything in the cosmos. And part of the challenge of living in this simulation is moving forward in that journey in order to come to that realization. And it's impossible to reach that destination if you're hyper-focused on things like elections and money, fame, influence, what cruise ship you're going on next, or sports scores, or scandalous rumors in the newspaper. Could you believe those videos? You know, if that's your focus, you're missing out on the life of a lifetime. Seriously. There's so much more that awaits us. And it took me 100 sermons just to barely begin to scratch the surface. Where we're going next is going to be really, really revolutionary. So thank you for listening to my 100 sermons, or any of them that you've heard. You can go to abundance.church to hear the ones that you may have missed. I think you'll find them all interesting. And there are many more yet to come, just at a much slower pace because, well, I have a lot of research to do, a lot of reading to do. I'm also working on some mini video documentaries and some reference charts and other materials. So I'm going to be stepping back from doing so many sermons and so many podcasts for a while in order to do more of the, let's say, the research and content creation side of this. I've got to lay some things out for you in terms of presentations. I need to distill some of the concepts down into an easier form that's just easier for people to pick up, especially for beginners, let's say, who haven't even pondered any of this stuff ever, and they're encountering it for the first time, and their minds are blown apart, and we need to piece their minds back together and say, hey, it's, guess what? You know, here's how you learn this. Here's how you get super red-pilled. You know, step one, step two, step three. We need to help other people on this journey. We need to bring other people to salvation through this method by showing them really the secrets of our Creator. I mean, isn't that the ultimate form of worship of the Creator? The ultimate form of faith is in realizing that our Creator not only created a simulation for us and put our souls into it, He then gave us the keys to decode parts of the simulation and to alter it as we see fit. Basically, God gave us a holodeck and said, you know, figure out the rules and have fun, you know, and be a good person, right? Express love, compassion, etc. But you can play with the holodeck. You can alter it. You can change things around. You can explore it. You can discover it. But don't be a prisoner in the simulation. Don't be a prisoner in your own mind. Don't be a small-minded person. Don't get stuck on the rituals and the words and the scripture itself. Look into the deeper meaning that it's trying to impart. Explore this reality. Don't miss out on this, because you've been given the gift of life. This is a rare and valuable experience. Otherwise, you wouldn't have agreed with God to send you here. You made an agreement to come here. Why? I can guarantee you it's not to be an NPC. It's not to be a regular average Joe. It's not to be an everyday person. It's not to do what everybody else tells you to do. and it's not to bow down to false authority. The only authority that you need to answer to is God himself. Don't be swayed by government authorities and false medical authorities and all that nonsense. No one has authority over you other than God himself and you. What you choose to do with your life and your body is between you and God. And God gave you the gift to do amazing things, to work literal miracles in this simulation. So let's have fun with it. Let's do more. Let's go deeper. Let's not get stuck in rituals and habits and conformity and false obedience. And I can guarantee you that as we move forward with more sermons here at the Church of Natural Abundance, we will not be looking backwards. We'll be looking deeper into the cosmos, deeper into the simulation. And we'll be looking for what God wants us to do, which is to live with love and enjoyment and discovery, to help others in need, and to also get closer to God by exploring the reality that he delivered to us. He set it on a table before us, and it's up to us to dig in to the reality buffet. So thank you for listening to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams. The website is abundance.church. God bless you all. And I'll be back with you in about a week with sermon number 101. Until then, get ready for some interesting times. Take care.